This is Including You, the new series from Lead at Any Level. Including You features stories from chief diversity officers and other executives who are creating inclusive cultures in their organizations. Our goal is to show what's working in companies just like yours, to give you the tools you need to keep pushing for progress in your own workplace. We want to create belonging and opportunity for everyone, including you. And now here's your host, Amy C. Wanninger.
Welcome back to Including You. I'm your host, Amy C. Wanninger, the Inclusion Catalyst. My guest today is Crystal McNack. She's the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisor of Enbridge, whose mission is a bridge to a cleaner energy future. That bridge safely connects millions of people around the world to the energy they rely on every day, fueling quality of life. Enbridge employs 11,000 people in the U.S. and Canada. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
I'm excited to talk to you. And I know you're based in Houston, and it says it on your chyron down there. I wanted to just give you a chance to explain, because a lot of people haven't heard of Enbridge, what the company is and what the footprint of the company is.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity. Yes, the way we like to think of Enbridge when we talk about it, especially here stateside, is that Enbridge is the largest company in North America that you probably have never heard of. And Enbridge is a Canadian-based midstream oil and gas company. And we do have four pillars. The four pillars are liquids pipelines. We do provide 30% of crude oil produced in North America. We also have the natural gas pipeline, which provides 20% of natural gas consumed in the U.S. We also do natural gas utilities. 75% of Toronto residents actually depend on Enbridge for their energy source. And just to point out, Ontario is the largest territory in Canada. So that's a pretty large footprint. And then we also have a renewable stream, and that does provide 1 million homes with renewable power.
That's amazing. And you have been in your current role for about a year, but you've been with the company for 6 years. Can you talk a little bit about where you came into Enbridge and how you went from that role into what is now your Director of Diversity and Inclusion or Diversity and Inclusion Advisor role?
Yes. Basically, as you mentioned, I've been with Enbridge for 6 years. I actually started out in supply chain, and I held a number of roles in supply chain, starting at vendor resolution, invoice resolution, vendor master setup. I bought for a little while. And what my background is actually communications. I have a master's degree in strategic communication, and I really was desiring to move into a space where I could use more of those skill sets. I actually spent a bit of time there was actually a role that was created in supply chain for change management and communications. I was in that role for quite a bit of time. And then from there, I just wanted to do something that I was really passionate about and really continuing to use that skill set. When I saw this opportunity open up in diversity, equity, and inclusion, I did not have human resource background. I did not have DEI background, but I did have a passion for people and a passion for change. I raised my hand, put my application in, and here I am a little bit over a year later, and I'm really enjoying the state I am in right now and feel like it's really allowing me to live my purpose and some of my passion through what I do at Enbridge.
Why is inclusion so important at Enbridge? People a lot of times will not think of the energy sector as a place that needs to be particularly inclusive. Right? You're pulling commodities out of the ground or out of the air and distributing those all over. But clearly, they've made a huge investment in diversity, equity, and inclusion internally. What's the impetus behind that?
You are correct in that the energy sector has typically been not as diverse as some other industries may have been, but Enbridge really is dedicated to inclusion, so much so that we actually have added it to our core values. Our core values are safety, integrity, respect, and again, inclusion. That was added in 2021. And really, it's because we want to look like the communities that we operate in. We understand that diversity of thought comes with having a diverse workplace, just as in when we're practicing safety, we want people to be able to speak up, people to be able to share their thoughts and break that groupthink type of mentality, so that we can be as safe as we could possibly be. The same way with inclusion. We want people to be able to speak up, to share their thoughts, to share their just their passions there. But we want people to be able to really bring themselves and their thoughts to the table so that we can make more informed business decisions.
One of the areas of focus that you've had within your employee community is a focus on building really strong human connection. And I would imagine that ties into all of your goals of safety, integrity, respect, and inclusion. But can you talk a little bit about how you're building human connection within Enbridge?
Yes, thank you so much for that question. Human connection is extremely important to us. I believe that focusing on human connection allows us to bring our full selves to work. As far as some of the things that Enbridge is doing around human connection, we've created a human rights series. And we started this off in, kicked it off in January. And we basically created this so that we can have a safe space for people to come, for employees to come and talk about their concerns as it pertains to human rights. In January, our conversation was around the immigrants' experience, some of the atrocities that were happening across the world, and just trying to really figure out some things that we could do to help our employees. Also through our corporate citizenship, trying to figure out ways that we can donate or volunteer to help with these efforts. One of the more recent experiences that we had with the human rights conversation, we actually just hosted one this past Tuesday. And it was around Emancipation Day. Emancipation Day is the Canadian equivalent to Juneteenth. For Emancipation Day, we had this human rights conversation, and we spoke to the intergenerational impact of slavery. We had one of our very well-respected leaders share her experience in that space, and it was just a very powerful conversation, very impactful, and there were, just to be transparent, lots of tears shed. And lots of feedback that we got from it. And it just really informed us that there was opportunity to continue the conversation. So we're looking to create sharing circles where we can continue the conversation, continue the healing journey, and really, again, just continuing to create the platform for people to be able to share their experiences without judgment. And additionally, from the human rights series, we also do have the Human Library, which is an initiative that's really near and dear to my heart. We hired a storytelling coach that basically comes in and helps our employees to shape their stories that just are on a myriad of topics. We've had employees talk about just their experiences being employees with disabilities, also caring for children with disabilities, dealing with infertility issues and adoption. Stories of LGBTQ employees coming out, and even employees sharing their experiences as immigrants. And that's been just the human connection. Additionally, we have working groups that are centered around creating cultural awareness. We've had lots of informative events throughout the year. One of those that really stands out to me is, for the first time, we had Arab American Heritage Month that we celebrated here. And there was just lots of great feedback that group that led it afterwards gave kudos and just teary thank yous that they were able to really be themselves and share aspects of themselves and break certain biases or misunderstandings that people had around their communities. Again, just that creating that human connection is extremely important here at Enbridge.
I love all the storytelling that you're doing and all of the sharing, because really it's stories that connect us. It's stories that open us up to other people's experience and start to build the level of empathy that we need to really engage each other on a human level. And that makes the work happen better.
Yes, I would agree.
When you think about all of this, because sometimes this kind of stuff can be very hard to quantify, right? People want to say, oh, yeah, storytelling is great and you get the warm fuzzies, but D&I is too squishy and you don't really know that it's working. But you all really know that it's working. Can you talk a little bit about how you're measuring the success of these initiatives?
Yes, perfect. Just there are different ways of getting to where we need to be. Of course, the qualitative, I would never take anything away from that experience, because that's the real human piece behind it. But of course, in order to know that we are moving the needle, we do also have to have quantitative measures. And Enbridge does have a diversity dashboard, and it's actually an award-winning diversity dashboard because we were awarded a Catalyst Award in 2022 because of it. And what it does is it is a collection of all of our data that provides transparency to where we are on our goals of inclusion from our different business units, from our organization as a whole, so that we could see where we are when it comes to hiring and retention of people of ethnically diverse backgrounds, also where we are in our goals with women, where we are in our goals with people with disabilities, and also with veterans as well. Everybody within the organization has access to this information. I was in a conversation fireside chat with our chief diversity officer, and she was speaking with the CEO of Catalyst, and she had said that by creating all of this visibility, it holds you to doing something about the information that you have. So it can be scary for some people to share that information, but we feel that it allows our employees to see where we can inform their business decisions. If they can pull that down and see, okay, my business unit, and because it's broken down to where it can be very granular as far as where business units sit. But if a leader within a certain business unit realizes that they're off from their representation goal, then they can make the necessary adjustments and the informed decisions that they need to make in order to help us to get to that goal as an overall company. So it's really a good practice, we think, to show people where the starting line is and where the finish line is and where we are in that process.
Data is a great way to manage people and manage work and manage the targets and the goals. But the level of transparency that you're talking about is where real accountability happens, because it's not just about being accountable to the people above you, who, if nobody knows what's happening behind closed doors, it may or may not happen. And that happens in a lot of organizations. The conversations behind closed doors are different. When you're putting all of that out on Main Street for all of your employees to see, I have to imagine that the accountability skyrockets. But also, was that hard? Because I would think people would be terrified of, well, what if my numbers aren't as good as Bob's numbers? Or what if they're really good this quarter and next quarter they slip? And a lot of folks in management are not as confident about that level of accountability as we might like them to be. How'd that go?
It can definitely sound scary and be scary. And for some people, maybe it was scary for them, but the information was not put out there to shame anyone. It was not put out there for judgment. It was literally put out there so that we could have what our baseline was, so that we could then say, this is where we are. This is where we want to be. Let's work together to get to that goal.
Yeah. And I think that level of transparency leads to really honest conversations and probably puts a pretty high priority on problem solving.
Yes. The way my leader shared it with me, and she said that she even got it from the leader before her in the DEI space, is that DEI's job is to be a mirror to our organization, to show us who we are. Show us where we are. And especially now, because I think it was also a bold move to add inclusion to our core values. If we are saying that our core value is inclusion, then it should reflecting that mirror to show that there still is ground to be made. And this is not, I would say this is not anything unique to Enbridge. This is unique. This is for the entire organization in many companies. There definitely is power in reflecting that back to say, this is where we are and let's go together. Let's get to the finish line together. Or maybe not even the finish line, but let's continue this journey together because it's an ongoing journey.
Yeah. And I've heard it said, you can never take people further than they already think they are.
Yes.
When they see on paper or in black and white or on their computer screen, right? This is where you actually are.
It makes it real.
And then they realize there's a gap that creates the necessary tension for action to take place. Yes. And I think that's such a powerful, it's a powerful tool for leadership, but it's also a powerful tool for education and reflection and self-awareness for people to say, oh, I thought we were doing great. Maybe we're just doing well, but we want to be great. And then that tension is already built in and they're spurred to action.
Yes, you are exactly correct. I would even say it's great to offer that tool to leaders, but also even to just the regular employees, because I know a lot of our employee resource groups actually go to this diversity dashboard to inform the types of events, the types of resources that they provide to their constituency. It creating that level really allows for just well-informed decisions all the way around.
And you don't do this work in a vacuum. You've had all of your executives, all of your senior leaders have gone through extensive training around inclusion and inclusive leadership, and they continue to do. Really, this isn't DEI bolted onto the side of the business that we're already running. This is really DEI infused from the top down and from the bottom up, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the goal. That's exactly the plan. And that is how we are working this. As you mentioned, we have inclusive leadership. Basically, we have taken part in the MARC training that Catalyst offers. And we've been doing this for the last number of years. I don't want to quote the year because I don't want to quote it incorrectly, but for a number of years, we have sent most of our leaders, director and above, to the MARC sessions, which is Men Advocating for Real Change, all the way up to our CEO. And in addition to that it's a 1.5 day training, intensive really. And in addition to that, we also have MARC teams, dialogue teams that takes place monthly. And that's led by folks who have been through the MARC sessions. And it's to continue those much needed conversations to really impact the culture and change the culture by continuing to have these very important conversations that continue to erode biases and just really continue to educate people. In addition to MARC, we've also had all of our Enbridge employees take training on unconscious bias. And then we also have a Indigenous cultural awareness training that we have. And that's included with our IRAP, which is the Indigenous Reconciliation Plan.
That's amazing. And you also do training around anti-racism, systemic racism as well, correct?
Yeah.
You've really hit this from a number of different angles. I'm curious, with all that you've done and all that you're accomplishing, and I know that there's always more to do, but what do you see as the key area of focus for Enbridge in the next year around their inclusion efforts?
Yes, I would definitely say continuing to work on our ideas, our inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility strategies. And as with any ambitious goals, we still have a ways left to go. I would say that continuing to create visibility for our employees, continuing to push forward with the inclusive leadership and cultural trainings. We have currently the cultural intelligence sessions that we do, where we invite people throughout the organization to take assessments to see where they are and what their preferred ways of working are that are sometimes honestly dictated by their cultural background. And then just comparing that to other people's preferred ways of working, and not so that they can amplify the differences, so that they can understand the differences and understand that they can work together through those. Again, just continuing that type of inclusive training. And then also we have up our sleeve to start rolling out kind of these micro videos where during these like crucial moments of decision-making, we have just quick little maybe 3 to 5 minute videos that kind of remind people of the inclusive skills that they've learned along the way. So when it comes to making hiring decisions, when it comes to promotion decisions, when it comes to even preparing to review someone's performance, just those little nudges that remind them. And then one of the other focuses would be increasing the access to coaching for our underrepresented groups. Ever since COVID, throughout the business sector, there has been this kind of attrition of women and people of color. Just really one of the things that we've been talking about internally is realignment, career realignment. Instead of losing those individuals, really creating coaching and mentoring pathways for them so that we can continue to retain our employees.
It's fascinating, all the work that you're doing. And I'm sure you're going to get there because you've already got your tracking mechanism and your transparency in place. This is nothing left but to do it. Crystal, thank you so much for your time, for your expertise, and for sharing so much of yourself and Enbridge with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow Lead at Any Level on LinkedIn and YouTube. Then join us for Including You video simulcast every Thursday at noon Eastern. Including You can also be enjoyed each week as part of the Living Corporate audio podcast series, available on all major podcast platforms. Learn more at living-corporate.com. Including You is brought to you in part by Lead at Any Level, a boutique training and consulting firm improving employee engagement and retention for companies that promote from within. Lead at Any Level. Leaders can be anywhere and should be everywhere. Learn more at leadatanylevel.com. Lead at Any Level and its logo are registered trademarks of Lead at Any Level LLC. The views and opinions of guests on our show do not necessarily reflect the positions of Lead at Any Level, Living Corporate, or the sponsors of Including You.
That's it for this week's episode of Including You. If you enjoyed our conversation, be sure and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to leave us a comment or leave a review so others can find us as well. Be sure to join me next week when my guest will be Kristen Shanley from Cerberus Capital Management.